Bring the Trump.
I left the rally.
We're ready. Sorry for the delay.
We're going to call the special admin committee meeting to order. We've got one item Jack's going to present.
So apologies for getting it out late yesterday. Doesn't really need formal committee approval, but figured since you were having a special meeting here in a little bit, would update you. About 2 weeks ago, I was contacted by Armstrong Communications. They've let us know that there is broadband money available under CARES Act. I believe it goes through the Economic Development Administration of the federal government. They've partnered with Allegheny and Cattaraugus to submit a similar grant. And essentially what it would do is their fiber footprint now, obviously on each road, it stops somewhere. And they have people, you know, Kelly's a good example where this happens now. You know, people up the road are calling and saying, you know, why don't you run the last couple miles up to my house? And obviously there's cost benefit analysis that they do. This is essentially just building off of those spurs. We would technically be the grant applicant and any award would have to come back to you folks to review and to approve, but just wanted to get your feedback, the committee's feedback on, you know, submitting this, partnering with them. In the end, it builds more fiber at no cost to us. So
I would support it. I think their track record shows that they are a reliable company and doing what they have said they were going to do.
Yeah, they've been great. They've been a great partner, and they partner very closely with Southern Tier Network and everyone. So they have been
and
great.
Anytime we can expand the broadband availability to our residents is a good thing. So however it might be done, particularly when it doesn't cost the county any money, let's do it.
And you said they've already done it with Allegheny and
Cattaraugus.
Cattaraugus.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly?
Yes, I definitely support this 110% because living in an area that doesn't have the internet makes it very difficult for me to get your email last night at 8 o'clock and review the things that I need to do. So thank goodness I have the hotspot, but I still have dead zones inside my house with the cell phone, and the lack of internet is really, it's difficult to deal with. Now on this map, are the dots where they have service or are the dots where they're going to put service?
The dots are the proposed new runs.
Nice. Yep. They're getting closer to Bath. Maybe we can convince them to come over.
They're creeping up. That's for sure. Yeah.
I'll have better luck maybe calling them than I've had calling Empire.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think they're chartered in that territory. I think that line is where you see it. I think that's kind of where they stop.
Figures.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, being an Armstrong customer, I can attest to the quality of their internet service and the quality of their service, period. It's very reliable and it's excellent.
John?
Is there a dollar amount associated with this? Or they don't know yet.
Don't know yet. I can email it around when we have it. They are actually working on the application now, so I haven't seen the number, you can see the map, but I haven't seen the fiber miles calculated or the total cost, but I can email it to everyone.
Was this through the state or feds?
Feds.
Good.
What else?
Armstrong does an excellent job. I'm in their district like Fred is and have no complaints. I definitely would support it.
Don't need anything.
Yeah. Just okay. So why don't we move on to the joint admin and finance committee meeting? Call that to order. We got the Center for Technology and Civic Light grant. So we need a motion to approve the grant.
Yeah.
You're about it.
Elections is on.
Vicki?
I'm here. So Jack had emailed me a little while ago about a grant from the Center for Tech and Civic Life through NYSAG. So we applied for it. It's in response to the COVID, and they responded back and they authorized us for $45,126. So we need approval to accept that grant. So that's the first thing.
No match, I take it?
No match.
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Got a motion to second. Any questions for?
Any stipulations we have to do or not do?
No, they just give us a list of the things that we're allowed to do with the money. And that's not going to be a problem.
Thank you.
What else? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. You have something else, Nick?
Do I need to bring the purchase of the clear ballot?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So we received this grant, and then we also had received the CARES COVID grant from the federal government for 116 plus thousand earlier. And with this new grant, what we'd like to do is we'd like to purchase what is called clear ballot. It is a separate central scanning system, and it is not tied into our voting machine company or the other voting machine company that is out there. It is a standalone system, and it is authorized and certified by the state that we can do our 3% audit with it because it's not the same manufacturer as our voting machines. So that in itself is a huge time saver instead of having to hand count all of those ballots. The other thing is we can also run all of our ballots through that system. The whole system is absolutely amazing. We wouldn't have come forward to ask for it, but we got this additional grant, and I think now is the time to do this. I honestly believe that once they have put everything in place this year for the absentee stuff, I don't see that it's going to go away. We are actually moving towards, it's gone through the House once. It has to pass the House again in 2021 for them to put it on the ballot in 2022 to make absentee voting a no excuse absentee voting, which means people will not have to require a reason to request an absentee ballot. They are pushing this more and more, and that's, I think, where we're headed. And I also see they're trying to push automatic voter registration. So if those two things both happen, that is going to be a huge influx of absentee ballots and stuff in the office. And right now we received 7,589 absentee ballot requests. As of this morning, we received 4,840 of them back. And I don't see where this ballot through the mail thing is going to go away.
Is this software going to be used to count these absentee ballots?
Yes.
And now you do it manually?
Mm-hmm. We have another system, but it is very, very chaotic and very frustrating. We've had the company come out 2-3 different times, and the last time they were out, their fix was to put the system on top of a box. We were not happy.
Not the shredder box.
No. And of course, with this election coming up, we're pretty sure we're going to have all kinds of attorneys and people in here to watch us do the count. And we definitely don't want it to look like we're rescanning things 2-3 times because the count system that we have now is not working like it should.
So Vicki, does this grant cover the whole cost?
Between the two grants, it will cover the entire cost. And then we still have money left over to cover the different things that we've had to incur during this whole election year.
So will there be a yearly maintenance cost associated with this program?
Let me look here. If there was a yearly cost, I think.
It shows $19.97 per year.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, so we had a discussion, Jack and I talked to Vicki and Kelly on Friday about this. And I think the interesting thing is not only will this equipment and software allow them to do their 3% audit that they have to do after every election, but it will also allow them to process and count or tabulate all of the ballots that are sent in. So it is kind of twofold because it's a system that's entirely separate from our existing voting machines. They can't use those to process absentee ballots. So I think this is a good proposal, and we are really tight on time because if it's really that good of a piece of equipment, my question on Friday was, well, do we know that they actually have one that we can get within 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, they've actually have set one aside and promised that if this gets approved, they will go and get it certified with the state and then bring it down, set it up, train, and be ready for next week.
So the system you're now using, is that an annual cost for that system? And I'm assuming we're going to eliminate that?
The system that we have right now, there is no annual cost for that now.
Great. Thank you.
I'll make the motion.
Got a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Anything else? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would like to ask Vicki and Kelly some questions.
Go ahead.
Would you be able to give me some kind of barometer since early voting started on Saturday? We have the one site in Bath. How vigorous has it been?
Wow. It's been overwhelming.
We put through 1,235 voters this weekend.
That's stupendous.
And we had
there's a line around the building now.
Yeah. Saturday morning, apparently according to the deputy, there was a line that started a little after 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning. And we had them wrapped all the way around the building and snaking through the parking lot. We also had on Sunday, I got here at 7:30 Sunday morning. There was nobody out there. I thought, okay, great. It's going to be a little bit smoother, a little bit quieter today. No, by 8 o'clock, we already had a line and it didn't open until 9. And we had a line basically by the time we opened all the way around the building again and into the parking lot. And people were great. They were very patient. We only had one person that would not wear a mask. And everybody was really pleasant and it was really good. We had to adjust a little bit first thing Saturday morning, but we got everything moving very well. And we brought in extra inspectors to handle with all of the cleaning that was going on. And Sheriff Allard happened to come in Saturday morning to vote. And he brought in an additional deputy to help us with the crowd and another one for Sunday. And I contacted Eric on Sunday and he had somebody to come in to help us like clean the bathrooms and that stuff because we had, of course, the public in here using the bathrooms. And so Eric sent staff in to give us a hand with keeping the bathrooms cleaned and sanitized and stuff too.
So my focus here is there's been a conversation about having additional early voting sites. I'm sure it's something the election commissioners have talked about. Would you give me your views on that?
Our view at this point is if we do open additional sites, I feel like we would have to open two. I don't think we could open like one in Hornell and not in Corning or one in Corning and not in Hornell. So that would require two additional sites. It's going to require more equipment, more electronic poll books and more on-demand printers. And it's going to entail more staff because you have to have enough staff to handle all 9 days of early voting and at least 4 inspectors there. And then we have to figure out security because here we can lock everything up and we know everything's secure. In an offsite, we'll have to figure out like locking up the e-poll books and the printers because you're using a public building. And then figure, you know, we'll have to, you know, adjust to make sure we're bringing the ballots and all of that stuff back at the end of the day, every day.
I totally understand perhaps fiscal constraints, not having enough staff to do the two voting sites, but at this late date, is it even possible?
No.
Give me your.
At this late date, I do not believe so.
No.
I really don't. I mean, it was amazing how many people came through. I mean, 1,200 people in 2 days is like, and we had people here from all over the county.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing the amount of turnout we had. People were thrilled, thought it was great to be able to come in and vote on the weekend. But on this late day, I just don't think that we can pull it off.
Okay, I think the concerns that have been expressed to me is that with the, with the guessing on what COVID is doing, community spread, it affects not only the voters, but it affects the poll workers. And, you know, when we come to election day, I expect there's going to be long lines again. There seems to be a very tremendous interest in this particular presidential election. So have you made any kind of accommodation for substitutes for election day?
Yes, we have. We added an additional, we did an additional 160 inspectors through the new training class. Other ones, just time constraint alone, trying to train these people. We just ran out of time and space to do it because of COVID. We could only have so many people in a room. But what we have done is those people that are still interested, we have sent them out emails, and if they are willing and able to work on election day to help come in and clean, direct traffic, work as an inspector, anybody that replied back and said yes, they were willing and able to work that day, we have sent them our information from our website for the inspectors with the passwords so they can get on there and see the PowerPoint training class that we use for the training, and the inspector manual, and any other notes that we're going to post between now and election day to keep our inspectors up to date so that they have the information that they need to have some idea of what's going to happen. And then we are going to look at, and as we go along, people are calling off. We've already had inspectors call off because they're worried because we can't force people to wear a mask. We had another husband and wife team, apparently their granddaughter lives with them and she became COVID positive last Monday. So they're now quarantined till election day. So, you know, and it's not unusual to have inspectors call off between now and election day or call on election morning at 3 o'clock and say, I'm not coming in. So, you know, we've
but tried. You have a plan B to take care of it.
Yeah, we're doing our best to try to make sure. And of course, with early voting, we're hoping that that'll take some of the pressure off on election day. But we're trying to make sure that we have an overabundance of inspectors to help clean and, you know, direct traffic in these poll sites and get people in and out and things done.
And on the other side that you mentioned, Robin spoke with the commissioners on Friday, and Board of Elections with Mary put out a press release about the process. So say as a voter, you were put under isolation and quarantine and can't leave your house between now and election day, what the process would be so you would still be able to vote.
Mm-hmm. I saw the item.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the information.
We posted that on our Facebook too, so people would know.
So is there a process if somebody was quarantined during the election time that person can still vote?
Yep. Mm-hmm. There is a process and it's detailed in our press release.
Okay.
Yep.
So they have up until on Monday before election day to request the absentee ballot.
Right. You can do an absentee ballot. You can download it and have a third party come in.
Yeah.
Ask for your absentee ballot and they can deliver it back. So it's still possible even if you were quarantined on Monday, you still could get it done.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a question on, and maybe this is in the press release too, but if there's a COVID positive person at the polling site on election day, what the procedure is going to be for that?
No, and well, that would be so if there were, unless it was a situation where someone broke quarantine, I mean, we'd obviously get the sheriffs and department involved and public health involved, but let's hope that doesn't happen, but we probably wouldn't know for a couple days, and then we'd have to contact trace, and they'd have, you know, when people were in there, the poll books, everything to be able to help us with contact tracing.
Yeah. I mean, we have, you know, there's hand sanitizer at the, you know, when they come in, when they go out, for everybody on the tables, everything is being wiped down between voters. Mask for the inspectors and any voter that comes in that doesn't have one. We are doing our best to make sure everything is as clean and sanitized and wiped down as we possibly can. We know that the majority of our inspectors are a health risk. The majority of them are 70 years plus, and that puts them at a risk themselves just to come in and work for us. And we definitely—
What's the process when we, somebody goes in and votes, how does that area get clean?
After they're done voting, when we give them their ballot, we're asking them to place the white privacy booth flat on the table so that we know that that spot needs to be clean before another voter can sit there. And then we're going in with a hand sanitizer in the cloths, and we're wiping down the privacy booth, the marker, the table, the chair, the whole bit before somebody else can sit there to vote.
And we've got disinfectant spray that we're sending out with cloths. We have blue tape to mark the 6-foot distance to give them, you know, so the inspectors can mark the distance the day before they're going to go in and wipe everything down and set up their poll site, so they have the social distancing already set up ahead of time.
Now, I was in a store the other day and had to sign my credit card, and they told me to keep the pen, and they got a new pen out. So what's the idea?
We're wiping, something like that. We're wiping the stylist every time the voter signs in on the electronic poll book. After that voter leaves the table, the inspector is wiping down the stylist with a sanitizer wipe and the tablet itself with a safe sanitizer wipe for the tablet. And then the ballot markers are with the table at the privacy booth, and that all gets wiped down after every voter.
Thank you.
Yep.
Anyone else? Thanks, Vicki and Kelly.
Thanks, you guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I guess thank we need you. A motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Oh, second.
Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
All yours, Scott.